Welcome to the Get Realizes podcast. I am Adam Chase Rennie. All right, you guys. So a brief introduction before we get into this fine episode. This is previously recorded about a year ago, which is season one of our Get Realizes podcast. Originally, the Fun Employment podcast, talking about Christine Chen's first feature that she wrote, directed, produced, edited, you know, putting in all that sort of magic into her first feature, which is available now on Amazon Prime. So go get it. And we sat down with these fine people who are the cast and crew of said feature. And we got into how it was making the film and working with Christine and their experiences and what they're up to nowadays. So this is our unfiltered, raw version of the audio interview. And if you want to watch the video interview, it's on youtube.com/mothtoflamefilms. You'll be able to find it all there. Give it a subscribe, give it a watch. And yeah, please enjoy this unfiltered episode of season one, Fun Employment, of the Get Realizes podcast. Enjoy it.
Hey.
Okay, welcome to the next episode of the Fun Employment Podcast.
Fun
Employment. If you missed the last episode, watch it because you're just going to be super confused. So don't watch this one. Okay, watch the previous one. Don't be dumb. Don't be that person. So okay, now what we're going to be jumping into is the pre-production for the Fun Employment feature, the very first feature that Christine was able to direct and write. So. Going into pre-production, so you had the script. The script was already done.
Yes. Oh, and so I'm going to do it really quick. So Fun Employment is a feature about a few people who become buddies because they're trying to get an app to work in the Austin startup community. Mm-hmm. So it's fictional. It was written. And we started filming in 2013. And we are going to release it very soon. Yes.
It's been, oh my gosh, 5 years? Three?
It's been sitting on my shelf for a good year.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what to do with it. And part of it was because, you know, within those last 2 years, I've improved significantly as a filmmaker. And then as any artist, you know, that we want our best work to be shown. And, you know, I was like, oh, this is not like my best work.
Anyone's first feature is never going to be their best work, I would assume. But I have yet to write my very first good feature, which will be a very long time for that.
But then I realized just talking to you just how special the film was because of all the crap that went on behind the scene in a good way. We learned so much from it. And I think what people will actually benefit from the release is this podcast and this all these behind the scenes commentary is more the process of how it was made. And it is supposed to be to inspire everybody out there who wants to make a film that it can be done. It can be done for very little money. It can be done with very little experience.
Very little experience.
It will not be a good film necessarily.
No.
However, you will learn a lot. You might actually come out with a great film or something that's fun, which I feel like Fun Employment is a pretty damn good film. I don't know.
And Fun Employment is a fun-ass film, too, because of the fact that, and we're going to go into the pre-production, but just to kind of blow smoke up your ass for a second, I remembered watching this movie, and I was thinking to myself, you know, this is a film that needs to be celebrated everywhere. This needs to be a movie that is primarily for the audience who is not familiar with filmmaking, you know, and they're going straight into filmmaking. Like, this should be the matriarch of anyone who wants to get pursued. If they want to pursue filmmaking, if they want to pursue writing or anything in a creative field, definitely watch the work that of independent films in general. Just watching independent films does make a difference, especially creatively, because what it really comes down to is a script.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? So if you have a really good story, use it, run with it, you know. And with Fun Employment's case, the story about, you know, having this guy who essentially showed up to work one day and he's fucking fired.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah. And he's worked at the job for X amount of years and he shows up to work and they said, all right, dude, sorry, you're laid off. You have to pack up your shit and go. Yeah. And that's it.
You don't know who you are anymore and what you want to do.
You don't. So going into the pre-production for that,
sure.
you had the script and then...
And then what happened?
And then what happened?
Okay, so we had a script and we're like, we want to shoot the script.
Right.
But we need money.
Money.
And so a lot of things happened before I actually even got money. So we were going to just shoot it with DSLRs, like what I had basically, Canon DSLRs. But somehow somebody, I met up with now a good friend, Ase Bansu, who was like, I just bought the Red. Do you want to use it? I was like, what?
What's a Red? Like a Red, the color Red? What do you mean?
The Red. But he had the Red Scarlet and he let me use that thing for free.
Wow.
For the whole shoot. I mean, that was the coolest
thing.
And
it took you how long to shoot?
So it's really funny. The first 20 minutes of film took the first one day of shooting.
Holy shit.
Because we thought that we were going to lose the location that we were shooting the whole thing in.
Uh-huh.
And so Moth of Flame was part of this incubator that UT has for startups. And I was able to, now I look back, I'm like, damn, we had prime real estate for free. And I didn't take advantage of it enough.
Yeah.
It was
because
downtown.
Because you guys spent an entire day just trying to figure it out.
We were downtown. On Lavaca Street, like literally 15th Street, prime real estate, and I had an office there for free. And so, and the funny thing was, I wasn't even at the office for most of the time. But now I look back, I'm like, that was stupid. I should have just lived at the office. But we had that location, and I was like, this is the perfect spot for Fun Employment to take place, basically, because it's a legitimate startup incubator. There were a bunch of startups. Favor, you might have heard, started its roots in
really?
There.
It started there?
Yeah. They were
fucking
like two
a, wow.
doors down from me. Yeah, it's super cool.
Wow.
And some
holy
other
shit.
Yeah, other startups as well. And so that location, the incubator was going to close, shut down. And it was like they were going to shut down in like a week or something. And we were like, shit, like there goes our location. Guess
right.
we're going into production like right now, even though
time
we don't know
essence.
Anything. But we have a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we had a camera and that's the extent of what I needed.
Just the
had.
Red. That was
yeah.
it.
We have that, so we're going to shoot something.
Fuck.
And so the first part of the film.
Talk
was,
about guerrilla filming.
Yeah, was shot with just went right into production.
Mm.
Like. Just now I look back like, man, I was so stupid. But yeah, we shot
it. Why was it stupid though? Why was it?
Because now the more I know about films, the more I prepare. You know, I spend months prepping for a short film.
Mm-hmm.
Months, like 3-4 months ahead of time prepping, you know, getting all the little pieces, getting logistics, getting make sure we have food, the right crew, make sure I had no shot list. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no shot list.
There's no call sheet.
No call sheets. No. No. My call sheet was, I did make strip boards where it was like you kind of know the overall schedule.
By the way, for
stuff.
Those of you who are not in the film industry, to explain call sheets, how would you explain call sheets?
It's like,
you can explain it better.
It's like if you went to work and you didn't know what you were going to do at work, and the day before you go to work, you get this schedule of what you're going to accomplish the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you get it from
breaks it all down.
This person, and you take that call sheet, and like you may or may not follow it. You try your best to, but you're supposed to accomplish everything on this call sheet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So did you have that? Did you have call sheets? Were you okay? Let me take a step back.
I don't
back.
Think I had a call sheet.
I was gonna say, were you guys organized with this? With this shoot, because this was...
I'm looking back, and I don't think we had a call sheet.
No. You guys just fucking run and gut craft services versus a bag of chips and behind someone's car.
Yeah, I feel so bad for my actors. Now I understand why they're always angry at me.
I'll be pissed at you too, honestly. I'll be like, what the fuck? There's no craft services.
I hate everything. The thing is, though, we were all green. So green being new.
Absolutely.
We were all.
Yeah.
So the whole crew was green. So we were just thinking we were like making the Oscar winning material together. And that, you know, we were just going to make millions of dollars with this short, this feature that we didn't know what we were doing, making.
We're making the next Citizen Kane.
Pretty much.
Fuck.
I mean, and so we just did it. I mean, I had a very patient DP who wasn't, here's this a funny thing. The first week, so the first week was shot by one DP, good friend, William Molina. Problem was he had just moved from Austin to Houston. So when we had talked about the film, he was like, yeah, totally, I'll DP it because he was in Austin, but then he moved. So then coming back and forth from Houston to Austin is pretty difficult, is, you know, especially when I didn't really know what our schedule would be. So so then I had to switch DPs, and I don't know any other DPs, but I knew that I'd seen my friend's Johnny Greenwald's work. He's primarily did visual effects and directs now and stuff like that. But I was like, hey, do you want a DP? He was like, guess so. So then he started, so he became the DP.
And has Johnny DP'd before then? Has he?
He shot his stuff. Like he also was part of like that YouTube world where they made sketches and stuff like that. So you could tell he knew what he was doing.
He was familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you were to ask him, he was a DP, he'd be like, hell no. Like, no. You know, so it was a lot of us being like, I DP think the hard. Lights should be this way. And we'd be like, it looks like shit. All right, let's move the lights this way. Yeah, we just know what we're doing. And so we went into pre-production. We shot the thing. We went hardcore the first few weeks because we thought we were going to lose the location. But then the location ended up being there for a whole year. And so we slowed down, pumped the brakes, and it was actually better for quality because then we weren't working 20-hour days.
Right. And you were able to work on your guys' schedule.
And then I was able to actually like come up with a shot list, you know? And I remember
actually plan out your day.
Yeah, my DP was like, how do you want this shot? I was like, well, I guess, you know, because we have a dolly, we just like dolly in. He's like, why? He's like, why? Do you think you're Wes Anderson or something? And I was like, wait a minute. He's like, why do you want to dolly?
I want to do avant-garde filmmaking.
Well, he was like, why? Okay. Like, you need to think about why each of the shots
you gotta
the
think
way
about everything.
They
yeah.
are supposed to be. And that was like a revolutionary, like, whoa, why didn't I think about that?
Yeah.
You're right. Any camera movement, anything affects the way the story is told. So you'll see after the first act, it significantly improves in all aspects of the film.
And that's a really good point because you start to notice in the film, it almost feels like it grows in a way because when you first start off, and did you guys shot it out of order?
Yeah.
Okay. So you definitely get a sense of every other scene, one looks very different than the other. Like in terms of just like, well, not in terms of like how the story was, not
sure,
like that,
sure.
But it almost felt like one scene would move on to another scene. So I remember specifically the scene where he lost his job and he's in the car, he's drinking. And when he's drinking, it goes to the next shot of the next day where they actually, the when he was fired, he actually meets the person who fired him that next day with his best friend. That looked like a completely different fucking movie. I meant to message you about that.
Yeah.
I remember watching that and I was like, what happened? What, like, did something change?
Yeah, well, we shot one with a DSLR.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have an official car rig or anything.
Right.
So that was a different camera. And then when he meets him, Alex Walker actually shot it. So he actually knew what he was doing. Not that Johnny
another
didn't.
Another DP.
But another DP, Alex really knows what he was doing. Yeah. So it looks much better.
And Alex already had the experience
yes.
of being a DP.
Yes.
So,
yeah. so
and then
and
Johnny... So going back to Johnny, what did he do? Like, what was his jam? Like, what was
Johnny
his...
made sure that we had a film. So he was the DP. He was a Johnny was the DP 60% of the time.
Gotcha. Okay.
Maybe 50% of the time.
Gotcha.
Johnny was there as much as he could be.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And towards the end, it was like, hey, I gotta go do a. I need to work, you know, and make money.
Make money.
We're doing this for free, you know, and so yeah. So then we started to only schedule things on the weekends or one days when people were available. So it would be like, hey, we shoot for like 3 hours on this one day, and then we reconvene again and shoot another 5 hours.
Oh, it wouldn't even be a full day. It would just be like just a few hours because everybody had a job.
Everybody had stuff that they had to do. Shayla was going to school full time, the lead actress.
Right.
Yeah, so we had to work around that schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just
wow.
a lot of stuff. And what's interesting is that when I first wrote the film, the lead was actually Shayla. It was actually supposed to be the girl that was the lead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who was supposed to be fire?
Well, she was supposed to be the lead, not because the love story was going to be more of a thing.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
But it ended up being the Nick is the character who became the lead because the person who played the lead character, Adam Duncan, had a lot of time. And so him and I would just go and shoot stuff on our own by ourselves all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we basically fixed the film by, we edited it out and being like, all right, we are missing these pieces, but I've got Adam. So like, Adam, you saw that wardrobe. Great. Let's just shoot this part where you go into this building, or let's shoot this part where you go. Like,
right, those miscellaneous parts where he would walk into a building and like tweet about a startup space.
Yes, yeah, or something
office.
Like that.
Yeah.
We basically just took a lot of time on our own shooting because we like to hang out with each other anyway. And so we're like, well, you know, let's just hang out and just shoot this and fix this part of the film.
That's cool.
Or whatever.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's why the film is even watchable, is because I learned how to write by the way the script translated on film. And so
what do you mean?
I come from a YouTube background where it's like you do one scene. It's more like sitcom-y.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned really quickly from the way Fun Employment was put together was that I didn't have any transitions. Like, all the scenes can stand alone by itself, but nothing.
Oh, but nothing
flowed
to flow. Oh, wow! Really?
Well, when I first put it together, it was really like that, and so I had to fix it by adding different transitions and stuff
right.
to it.
Yeah,
that was an afterthought. Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't think about it at the time.
We didn't think about, like, how do we move from this scene to this scene? Yeah. But it works for the film because it's...
And I would assume it worked in your head.
Yeah. and it works for the style of this film because it is very much like they're here and they're here and they're here and they're here. It's Startup Life, which is like you never know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You could be meeting at a coffee shop. You could be meeting at, you know. So it works for the style of film, surprisingly. But
it does, and it worked out very nicely.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that's how it came to be. Where that's why he became more of the lead, because I had access to it more,
right?
And could really massage the
Adam,
story,
right?
Yeah, to massage the story for it to work and make sense coherently, basically.
That makes sense.
So, but yeah, no, we went into pre-production without much planning at all. I'm sure it'll be very funny when we bring the actors and they say what a shitty set it was.
I'm excited, man. I'm real excited because I know there's certain points probably like during the shoot where I would assume like, I mean, I like you don't have to share if you don't want to, but like probably like some fucking fights broke out or
you know
somebody but was pissed off at one another.
Yes, we've had those. We definitely had people who were pissed off at each other and stuff like that. But...
Would it be immediately resolved? Or
yeah,
just,
for the most part, everybody on set was like,
set,
they knew
you know?
What they were coming into. We didn't sugarcoat it. Rule number one, if you're going to make an independent, low-budget film, do not sugarcoat it. to your cast and crew. You tell them this is a low budget independent film so that they expect the worst.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then you wow them with maybe some good craft services, or like I started cooking for, and then there everybody was happy. Yeah, everybody was happy. And so like I started to like make food for my sets and stuff. So it was like that's why like we could only shoot in little bits, because when we went to shoot, I would be the one who was there. Like, I made all the food. I had all the equipment. So it would all come out of my car. Mm-hmm. After we wrapped, I wasn't wrapped because I was plugging in batteries and making sure we had all the equipment. Holy and stuff like fuck. That. I was DIT. Yeah. So I was in charge of all the data and stuff and organizing the data and like, yeah.
So essentially Christine wore to anywhere from 10 to 15 hats.
It was insane. It was insane. Yeah, it was insane. So Adam was
just
like...
just shooting it.
Yeah, I was watching the credits and noticed that you, Larissa, and Kelly like appeared in every single credit. I was like, yeah, because we were the only people that were... it was just us.
And we're going to get those three OG ladies. Those are the bosses of the bosses. Man. We're going to get them on the podcast as well.
You're so
but
stupid.
What's great about that movie too is the fact that it was so brand spanking new to you, and it's clear to see that it's a brand spanking new fucking movie for you. But the coolest thing about it though is that you had your own little thing. Wherever it is, you had your own little thing. And it's hard to pinpoint where it is throughout the film, mm-hmm. but you had your little
style or...
yeah, like you had your little touch in there, mm-hmm. here and there.
Yeah, I mean, I learned
because it's very specific. Yeah,
I learned so much from that film. I learned why it's important to frame shots a certain way because it helps tell the stories differently.
Why it's important to write a full script.
Why it's important to have call sheets and schedule and pre-production.
Yeah. Okay.
Why sound is important.
Yeah.
I just learned all these things. So we just went straight into pre-production, and it was like 2 weeks of like insane, like 20-hour, 21-hour, like ridiculous. Thank you so much to my actors for not killing me. That's all I can say. Yeah,
fucking A.
And my crew.
Those times were all over the place.
I don't know how. I complain now if we go like 1 hour over 12 hours. Yep. I'm like, this is more than a 12-hour day. Mm-hmm. This is not how we should be treated.
It'll be like half hour past the 12th hour. And Christine will be like, okay, so are we done? Like, is this it? We're done now, right?
And now I look back, I'm like, holy shit, my sets were all like 20-hour days.
Yeah.
Like, I was terrible.
Well, that's because you worked on the movie for literally from beginning till night. If anything, you were like 7-Eleven. You were working 24/7 on that fucking movie.
I was.
Just on that flick. And you were, I would assume, losing sleep because you're just trying to figure out how the fuck am I... one, how the fuck am I going to finish this? Then two, how am I going to finish the script? And then also three, is this going to be good?
Yeah.
Is this going to be good?
Yeah.
And you have to make that risk as a filmmaker always.
Yeah.
Every single project.
We just went for it. And
fucking
then
A.
We shot the whole thing. And then I was like, oh, I need money to like do post-production.
Only for post?
Only for post.
Holy shit.
So I think... the production itself, I think I spent like $5,000, my own money,
right,
to make it, because the camera was free.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was working for free.
Essentially.
Some of the actors were paid, but for the most part, everybody was working for free.
So you were just paying for locations?
No, food.
Food.
$5,000 worth of food, pretty much. Yeah.
$5,000 worth of food?
We shot for like 40 days, so
that's
yeah.
That's true.
So like,
oh,
if
that
I'm
makes
keeping
sense.
People for 20 yeah. hours, feeding them essentially breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, but even that, you know. So then I was like, oh shit, I need to raise money, uh-huh. because I actually need to do some major sound design and issues and stuff. And here's something. When you're an art director... was the sound person on your film.
That's right. Kelly Penna, art director, boom operator, Kelly Penna.
Something is not going to be right.
No, it's not.
The sound sounds great now because we fixed most of it and everything.
Sound is fine.
Yes.
The sound sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also,
it sounds great.
Towards the end of the half, Jason Cates got forced to do sound, and he kind of has like a natural gift of doing sound, and so everything was great afterwards.
You're right.
But yeah, we have the rare picture of Kelly Panhard, who is only does art production now, doing sound. It's very funny.
Yeah. Yep. And actually, funny enough, I want to get her take on it too. But like, I remembered when we did the 100-hour film fest. Yeah. She was also boom operator too.
Oh my God.
So she also did it. But yeah, man, that's awesome. And then Larissa also wore many hats too.
Yeah,
she was a costume designer.
Yeah, she came in as an intern. And then she...
How did you meet her? Where did that come to be? I know how you met Kelly, but not Larissa.
I made a commercial for Girl Scouts. Her mom was working at Girl Scouts. She's like, my daughter wants to get into film. And I was like, oh, sweet. And so I met her and I was like, what are you going to do? She's like, I'm a writer. I was like, you're a writer? I was like, help me with my script. And then, yeah, pretty much. And then, because I couldn't get through to the end of the script, so she helped me with like a lot of the scenes and basically breathed in new life to the script that I was really sick of.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about that. That's
yeah. So she helped me with the script and then came on set, and she ended up doing script supervising and stuff, which she now does full time as a script supervisor. So I often joke with Adam that if film life was like Harry Potter, I would be the sorting hat.
Yes.
I think you are an art person.
Hufflepuff! Art!
Pretty much.
So you got Larissa, then you got Kelly basically doing everything about the film.
Yeah, we would basically rotate. It would be... Five people would always be consistent. Kelly was usually always there.
Did the talent do any crew stuff too? I could have sworn I read something about that.
Yeah, no, they totally did. Like Adam carried shit and
Adam,
stuff like that. Yeah,
okay.
Everybody did some crew stuff. So yeah, so I would, I was always there. Kelly was always there. Jason Cates, for the most part, was always there. Johnny Greenwald was usually pretty much there, except for parts of it. And then
50%.
Yeah, 50%. And Larissa was sometimes there. And so, like, between all of us, and then there will be people coming in and out. So there were, like, that one person that was like, films should be fun, and then comes for one day and is like, nope, you know, and then leaves.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So I had a lot of those who, like, came in and was like, this is, you know, it's going to be Hollywood. And like, nope, like, you know, left. And then,
this looks like shit. What do we do?
Yeah. So, but between... just the core five people, we made this.
You made it happen.
We made it happen. And then I raised the money through Kickstarter.
Yes.
I raised $30,000.
You should have explained that.
Yes.
This was, so you started the Kickstarter, was it before?
After.
It was after.
After
right.
I shot the
okay.
film.
Okay, gotcha.
So I made the, like, we shot the film for $5,000.
No money.
Basically, $5,000 was food. Like, literally that.
That's when you know food's good, when you're spending $5,000.
And then I was like, oh, shit, like, we need to make this sound good and stuff. And so we raised the money to basically do studio time for ADR, mixing the sound.
Yeah.
So the soundtrack stuff and coloring. Basically, that was what it came to be. And so the actual shooting didn't take that long. It took, I would say, between principal photography probably took 30 days, let's just say that, roughly. And then between Adam and I probably fool around with different shots, like here and there, an hour here and there, and that probably was another 10 or 20 days, you know, type thing. So
Holy shit. Wow.
And then, yeah, but most of the time wasn't editing because I edited it. So, but I'm glad I did because that's how I'm a better writer because I learned.
Time.
Yeah, I learned from the script what works and what doesn't work on camera. Because I'd see it. I'd be like, wow, on script, this 3-page monologue seemed really good idea.
It's funny how a script like that can teach you the fundamentals of writing.
And then I'd watch the screen and I'd be like, this is so boring. Like, why do I have this whole scene?
I'm falling asleep already.
Yeah, so then I learned to be like cutting. Then I cut a lot of stuff and I realized, oh, that's why you don't have like 4-page monologues and stuff like that. So, yeah. So I learned that, and then I learned about writing in transitions because I had no transitions and I had to figure that out.
No transitions
in filming
because you didn't know how to move on from one scene to the next.
Yeah, like, I don't know why it was so hard. And then,
Did you copy? Did you copy scripts? Like, did you ever like read another script and be like, oh, this is how you format it. This is how you're supposed to string it along.
Later. After this project, I was like, I need to actually learn, you know, how a script actually works. Yeah. But no, we made it just on the fly, basically.
On the fly. And
half the time.
That is the most, that's probably the most beautiful way of filmmaking.
So basically this whole podcast could have been summarized with, so what about development? There was none.
It was just
in
mostly
conclusion, there was none.
There's no preparation. Instead, it was mostly Christine just be like, you want to do this? Yeah. Okay. Are you free this day? Okay, yes. Let's do it. All right, let's fucking do this. Let's shoot it.
In conclusion, let's just summarize this podcast. Uh-huh. Well, how was the pre-production and development process for employment? Oh, it was great because there was none.
Exactly.
The
there
end.
Was none.
End of podcast. Yeah.
This would have been like a 20-second podcast. Wow, we did it, you guys. So on this, the next episodes, proceeding after this, man... We're gonna get more guests.
Other parts of our team,
the cast, everyone. We want to get the DP. We want to get Kelly. We want to get Larissa. We want to get even video calls from Daniel Siddiqui, who came up with the story with Christine.
And see how what shitty things they're gonna say.
Yeah, they're gonna talk so much shit about Christine. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be a good time. Stay tuned for it, you guys.
Yes, and if you want, make sure we're going to reveal when we're going to actually show the film. If you want to learn more about it, go to areyoufunemployed.com or mothaflamefilms.com.
Mothaflamefilms.com, areyoufunemployed.
areyoufunemployed.com. So, sweet. Yes.
Did you want to start any, like a podcast Twitter or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
We can do that.
Okay.
Cool.
We'll do something like that.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, it's so funny. I think about it. I'm like,
we're done.
Pre-production, there was none. Like, I mean, I kind of did a little bit, but there really wasn't any
because you guys just wanted to fucking just do it. Like, you already had the script,
this was my brain. My brain was like, our location is no longer going to be there. I'm going to be so screwed. Let's just shoot. Because that's more important than pre-production.
You literally Bill O'Reilly'd and said, fuck it, do it live.
Do it. Let's just go for it. Let's just do it.
Do it live.
Yeah. It's so stupid. That's so dumb.
That's not dumb. That's a way of filmmaking. That's a way to do it. That's how I'm pretty sure Martin Scorsese did it.
Oh, man.
At one point.
I love fun employment. Being fun employed, it also makes me fun employment.
I like being fun employed. I like having the feeling of, you know, even coming here to Austin and just be like, oh, well, you know, you want to do this filmmaking thing. All right. Well, it's either that or your full-time job, which was a cushiony full-time $18 an hour job, barista job, getting paid fine, tips, great. It was awesome. And then... Yeah, I just wanted to pursue filmmaking.
But working for free makes so much sense.
It makes so much more sense. And then Christine talked me into it, and that's how I got in.
And now you're stuck.
Now I'm stuck, and I'm trapped, and I'm here forever now. So if any one of you guys can save me, that'd be great. And they're not going to let me go either. So no. These are our producers.
Yeah, they're looking at us like, please shut up. This is going way too long.
They just only feed me beer and water. That's it. I need to get out. Where? How do I get out?
All right,
I think that's done. I gotta pee. Oh my God, this water's flowing right through me. Jesus Christ.
That was fun.
That was great. That was a good time. Bye.